When I go home, I reset my mind. I reset the day. I always ask God. I know He's going to put me through setbacks and failures, but I ask Him that my setbacks and failures are always the greatest comebacks.
It was everything that I knew about your background, your work ethic, the quality, your drive, your purpose. I saw the employees, happy and smiling.
I'd say only God can make happen, because six brothers and a family working inside of a business, it is tough. And it is something that you have to make God number one and keep Him Christ-centered, and to be able to do this and to be able to give you guys, you coming in, to make your dream come true.
Again, how you treat people, how you answer your phones, how you connect and care, and your mission.
Our number one goal when we show up to work every day is to make everyone feel like family, no matter if you're buying or not. We have a process to where everyone goes home with something. The word pray. So if you're watching, write down P-R-A-Y, because everyone has a book, and you can't look at other people's chapter 40 if you're in chapter 10.
Amen.
This just helps production out back know exactly what your change orders are.
Welcome back to the number one tiny home podcast powered by Saddlebrook Life. Excited about this podcast. Excited for you to watch this full podcast. Make sure to listen to the end. We got some exciting news. Here with me today, I want to introduce a friend of mine now, and I would call her family. Welcome to the podcast, Jeannie Lopez.
Thank you. Don't say that. I'm already going to start off with these. Yeah, I feel like that.
Jeannie, tell the audience, how did you get on the podcast and why are you here?
You know, what's strange is I probably have spent 6 months researching a way to have a space without really fully understanding the space, like what it's for. But I was raised a ministry kid, and it's like there's a voice you hear that you know you have to obey, and it doesn't have to quite make sense. You just obey it. And so I kind of been on that journey, and I just went, whatever it is, God, that you want me to do, I know He's about quality. And my journey started on Facebook Marketplace, which is kind of a scary world. Craigslist can be a little scarier sometimes. But on Marketplace, I found so many different vendors, even, you know, people willing to bring me, you know, something already done. And then you got the modern ones. And it was just like I was drowning. Some days I would step away. Some days I would dive back in. But there was one day that somehow, through something I led to, I saw Saddlebrook. And I felt something right when I saw it. And I made a phone call. And I met Austin.
So Austin, you can introduce yourself. You're one of the home experts. You're one of the top. You've been here for now over 4 years. And just so the audience knows who you are, and then we'll continue on your story.
Of course.
Absolutely. My name is Austin Croft. I'm the oldest of the brothers here and a home expert, like you said. I've been from the backside to the front side, and so you get to see what we're truly about. And when I first got on the phone with Jeannie here, I knew there was something special about her, and, you know, it's led to this, and there's so much more to come from this.
So you're on Marketplace, and you see a Saddlebrook. You call out to him. And then I think a couple weeks ago, you and Joe, your husband, is that right?
Right.
You came down. Was that the first time you were down?
First time.
So what inspired you to, like, when you looked at that site, like, what inspired you? I want to know just the audience. What's your story? Like, go back, because I know you've, like, we're Mennonites. You've heard of the Mennonites and all that. But share your story so we can, like, how did we get to, okay, now I need a tiny home.
Yeah, and I will tell you, though, that I came because I guess I had to see it for myself to believe it, because I truly pictured a little outlet off the side of the road. And I mean, I know Texas, I'm in Texas, and I know the town. And I went, if they're really this big and this, you know, established, I just don't know where. I don't know where, because I've been to this town. And so I said, I don't know. I mean, they're great. Now I see the website. I just wanted to be here and feel it and see it, because I figured if it was reflective of how I was treated over the phone by Austin, and the way he described his family, and the way six brothers work together, and then mom and sister. Either you all set her up with the bakery. And for, I want to try something from that bakery, by the way. It really took me back because right then I knew in my heart the familiarity that I have. It just went deeper than like I found great builders, and I had to come and feel it, like know that I wasn't nuts, because I was raised in Amish country, Pennsylvania, oddly enough. It's very strange that the background I have, but in the 60s, there was an epidemic that took over New York City, and it was called black tar heroin. And that found its way to my mom and dad. And I wasn't born yet. They didn't have us. But separately, they were just drowning in that addiction when someone found them on the street. Someone by the name of David Wilkerson found them. He is a ministry. And what they did was they brought him in to their rehab program separately. And that's where they met. And then he married them and ordained them and said, just go do something like this, you know, for others. And my mom knew right away that, because what they did, they made accommodations for her because it was a men's program called Teen Challenge. And this was the very beginning. My mom and dad and like someone named Nikki Cruz, they were like the first converts. And so my parents are the very beginning of that. So my mom knew right away. And she's still alive today, 82 years old, works with youth in Dallas. But I will tell you that I learned a lot from watching their journey of just the unexpected and God showing up. Because what they did was they go, what would be safe for the women? Well, of course, up in the mountains in Pennsylvania. And so my life, while they were out raising funds for this program, my life was that community. I mean, I couldn't go anywhere. I didn't drive and I couldn't miss school. So it was tough in the beginning. It was definitely an all Dutch town, a lot of great Mennonite kids. And they just were like, what is this? Getting on our school bus. And, you know, in the beginning, there was a lot of racism and it was tough. But once they began to understand us, know us, some of them were allowed to come home with me, a lot weren't. Because they were like, we don't know about this cult going on up in the hills. But I will tell you that to this day, there's a Mennonite youth group that serves and brings meals on Sundays to the girls in that program.
Wow.
And to this day, there's walls standing that Mennonites built. And so the stonework and the wood. And I called my mom when I found you all, and I said, Mom, they were kind of birthed out of like a Mennonite background, you know, that's kind of their beginning. She said, oh, it's going to be good, whatever they make. The building up there 50 years later is standing. And what's interesting to me, and you guys know, they gave me this because I had quite a few tears, because it's like this table in front of us. It seems so full circle because the first ones to believe this couple coming out of New York City, they laugh because they're like, we're two Puerto Ricans coming out of New York City and were received by the Dutch that believed in it. And they put a shovel in the ground and said, there's going to be a program here. And they were able to buy 27 acres, all supported in the beginning by just small groups that they got together with in town. And so that being kind of my heritage, we got to a place that the problem was, and that's what I'm involved in today. The problem was they never took a break. You know, you have to take pauses. You have to know when to, yeah, do that. And the drive to do something, because imagine a program like that in the 70s ran off of a budget, $30,000, $40,000 a month, mm-hmm. all donation-based. So my mom wrote a book and traveled and supported the ministry. And that meant for us kids, But we felt so part of a mission, we didn't even know like what it was every evening to have dinner together. I ate dinner in the dorm with the girls. I feel like they were my moms and aunts, helped me with my science projects and my all that, at corn rolls and tattoos and whatever it was. And they were so proud that my volcano worked, you know, for science. And I hung out in their rooms in the dorms and heard their stories. And that's so deeply ingrained in me that there came a time where, because of not taking breaks, my parents needed to leave. They're just broken and exhausted. And everything that they'd given to everybody else was not available to them. And we ended up just in the car saying, we're leaving. And it was so abrupt. And the whole drive down, I hear them calling places, will you have us? And it just seemed like nobody, it seemed like no room in the inn kind of thing. And that really, hearing that caused anxiety in us as kids. We're, what? Like, am I going to see my dog again? Am I going to see Mama Pearl, who that raised me? And that was it. I never saw that program again for another 30 years. We left so abruptly that today, as I looked on the options for me to be involved in ministry, because I say I have it, because full-time ministry, you know, it's a sacrifice. And we've paid the price. My brother was doing inner city ministry with my mom in Dallas, and he was killed at 22 years old. And that was in 1990. And that's when I said, I'm making the move far north. But of late, what's kind of come together for me is the critical importance of clergy finding rest, of missionaries finding rest. And so I made a phone call as I'm at the same time talking to Austin. And I'm praying because I have a hard time with profit making. Not that we couldn't use it, but it's just like, I feel like so many things could be used for bigger purposes that have an internal impact. And what occurs when a missionary doesn't get a break, or a pastor, or like us, like the kids, we were in that car just, where are we going? Is this a vacation? Or it's like all the vacations we didn't have, they accumulated, and the bridge just, the dam broke, you know? So as I started having talks with this ministry that's their whole focus, I started to think, how can I help? And they told me how they bought land and that they put places on them and how they make space for clergy to take breaks. And I thought, how can I do that? And that's the endeavor I'm taking on. And so I'm hoping I'm able to do that with this. Mm-hmm.
So what did, so everybody can know what you, so you called Austin. What did you end up purchasing?
I ended up purchasing a tiny home. He's so customized. As I tried to describe what I wanted, he would just every time go, okay, I hear that. Got that. Yep. And I'm getting a text or he'd say, let our architect take, that's when I knew you all were serious. I said, do you have an architect that, like, you're not just sketching this out? And, and I mean, I got real plans every time. And, you know, other places, sometimes I would say, you can get mansplained to you as a woman. I don't know, you do. It's very slow, or you're like you're not. He never once did that. He just rolled with it, made the change, called me back. Is it this? Is it? And so at times when I got a little nervous, I was getting to deep waters that maybe I couldn't afford or I couldn't do. Every time there was a solution for it, every time he worked with me. And I'm excited to say that even today we've finalized the paperwork. And but what made me come was I want to see the quality of this. So I got to go into your manufacturing area. It was everything that I knew about your background, your work ethic, the quality, your drive, your purpose. I saw the employees, I mean, happy and smiling.
Yeah.
Happy to, I mean, all of them say, I'll just ask, are you one of the brothers? And they'll say, I'm an adopted one from Lakeland, and they're your employees. I even saw some people being consulted here in that lobby, all smiles, just all smiles. And there's just something here that I hope it's going to end up being more than this, because I do know the effort that I'm partnering with, they've got clergy and missionaries on wait lists, you know? And so I don't see it all yet, but I do know if my parents had the guts to put a shovel in the ground and say there's going to be a building here, that's my legacy. And although I had to pull away from, you know, work like what my brother did, because I just, there was a lot of trauma associated with that. And I just thought, there's really no ministry for me if I don't do that, because my family's always been involved in that. But it was really neat when I saw that I have a place, because we're more like preacher kids. We're not, like, I'm not a hardcore gang member. I don't have my parents' story. PKs can be bad. I do have some moments in my life. But overall, what a fit it seems with when I walked in and I saw your values on your wall. I'm just spinning from everything. I'm sitting back going, how did this all come together? And I'm just super thankful. I am that I found you all.
I'm super thankful that you and Joe got the chance to come up here. And, you know, we get a lot of comments and stuff. You know, you get that on social media. You know, are they a real? Are they a big company? And you have to come and look and see. It is something I'd say only God can make happen, because six brothers and a family working inside of a business is tough. And it is something that you have to make God number one and keep him Christ-centered, and to be able to do this and to be able to give you guys, you coming in and to make your dream come true. And that's what touches my heart, that I can now see that, you know, the tiny home that you bought will go change more lives, and the people that are going to sleep in it and the people that are going to come through it. And that's awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you bought the tiny home. What's your purpose behind that? Are you using it for other ministers to sleep in? What are you using the tiny home for?
You know, this has kind of been where I'm at. And it's so interesting, the level of intelligence with each brother. When you call and you have to buy from them, I don't care who I'm talking to. Look, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, raised in Pennsylvania, and I live in Texas. I took a test online one time on accents. You know, where? How do I say that? And it'll tell you where you're from. It came up Sacramento, California. So I'm telling you this to let you know, I'm from everywhere. And that so that you know that I'm probably one of you whoever's watching this and hearing. I'm as skeptical. I'm as, you know, about quality. I've talked to every angle you can do on this, from kind of the RV certified to, you know, tiny homes that are, I mean, sheds that are renovated. I even looked at renovating a shed I have. Every question is answered here. So whichever brother you get, you're good. But talk to them, because now I'm realizing that if I had even some of the questions I had that I thought I had to mull over myself, now they're getting answered. But I could have even been less anxious throughout the process. I say that because, you know, I know that you all have people that can buy in bulk, you know, that are setting up, I think, you know, Airbnb communities, mm-hmm. But you treated me just like one of them. And sometimes you call a place, and if it's not that you have that, you don't feel you get the same. Yeah.
You don't feel like you're welcomed or part of the family, whether it's 10 or if it's just one.
I can attest to that. But I'll tell you, when you talk about purpose, the reason I struggle is because one thing my parents didn't do, what, love you, Mom, and you've already said, for us to grow from, you know, what you didn't get to do, but like they had a hard time receiving. I keep hitting this mic and I apologize, but they had a hard time receiving, right? So I would love to make my own family comfortable first, as in maybe my daughter having that and getting a break from high rent, or my sister. And then there's another place where I do kind of something towards clear, you know, but then again, I decided something has to start somewhere. So I'm back and forth with family. And you, how many times have you heard, it's my mom, who, by the way, at 82 years old, is still doing ministry with inner city youth.
Wow.
Baseball cap, Converse, and out there doing it. Amazing. You would never guess she's 82. It would blow your mind.
That's amazing.
But with that kind of legacy, I'm trying to start with saying that's for us first.
Take care of the family.
But then I just want to, I'm so anxious to be in partnership with Be Still. They're BeStillBnB.org. And you can see their mission. And I just say that if my family had that, I think it would have been a softer landing for us in Texas. And when I heard, do you know what they said that just blew my mind? You know, I told you about our journey from Pennsylvania down and just not having places to call or be welcome. Their journey is, their desire is to have those places. They said they want to be like beacons and flags for people, ministry, to know, come here, stay here, process here, regroup. Because the impact of somebody in that kind of leadership not having that is so manyfold. Because whatever endeavors their church was doing or their ministry was doing, they pause. That stops for a long time. And so when I saw that image, because we traveled, I actually looked it up, 1,327 miles.
Yeah.
And that had so many question marks for us. And when I saw that Be Still, their desire is to welcome families like ours.
That's awesome.
But you know what it led me to is I might be doing something to follow me because I want to retrace those 1,327 miles and just give them to God and them not be so painful. So I think we're taking a journey to revisit them and meet some of their hosts, meet some of their the clergy that have taken breaks, meet people that need them. And I think that's kind of going to be a new endeavor because you guys remind me of my kids who I told them, you can do anything, put God first. And you guys just, you emulate that. And so the reason I was all in tears was because I needed to be reminded of that because, you know, there's so many setbacks for people in life. And one of mine have been health challenges because just before my brother was murdered, I was hit head on by a drunk driver. And I was in the windshield and I heard them saying I was dead. And this, so I'm at my brother's funeral with a brain injury, you know, and healing. So, you know, with an injury like that over decades, there's just additional damage and things that slow your body down. I will say the weather out here feels a bit cooler. My shoulder didn't want to work this morning, but I've let that just stop me at times.
Go deeper on like kids, family. You said you had a daughter, a son. How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three kids.
I have three. I have my oldest daughter's in full-time ministry. She's overseas.
Wow.
So it was funny because I tried to move them so far north. Like, God can't go north. Right? I was like, we are not. Okay. We have been on the front lines forever. I had to take a different route off of 30 so that I didn't drive by the cemetery where my brother is buried and where my dad is buried. And also where we did the work, because would you believe where he's buried is across the street from where our first center was.
Oh, wow.
And so I didn't even want to go visit our first center because you look across the street, there he is. I know where he is. But each one of them in their own ways, they believed me. And you guys remind me of them so much that I just grabbed the tissue. So they're entrepreneurs or in full-time ministry. So I've got my oldest, who's Annalise. She's 32. She lives overseas with her husband and two kids. I've got Alexis, who's 29, and she's terrified of making the jump over to 30. And so that's so young. If I could have 30 back. But she is an esthetician and a mom and has her own business. And then there's Samuel, who is you guys, and he's 25 and an entrepreneur. And he does, you know, branding and cinematography and actually, some of his work was on a Super Bowl commercial, not this year, but the year before, for He Gets Us campaign. And also, he was one of the creative directors on an app called Dwell, which is for remembering how to get centered and read a Bible study.
Yep.
So he was part of that. And so imagine now, they're all gone. And I'm sitting there with pain that like is in my hands. My so feet sometimes.
Start scrolling on Facebook and decided you need to go deeper on get a tiny home, huh?
Well, I looked in my backyard and I thought what could fit there. But then again, I just always knew I had to be purposeful. And, you know, it's like you can ask God for this and he gives you that. And so that's how it grew because I thought who would stay there? Who would build it? And when I talked to the folks at Be Still, it really blew my mind because none of them had family and ministry that were burnt out. They just felt after hearing of a story of a pastor that was burnt out, they just said, wow, we need to do something about that. Mm. And they started it in 2014.
Wow.
And so I want to be a part of that. And if it starts in my backyard for this new adventure, because I kind of have a mouth, I don't know if you could tell, but I'm not afraid of telling people about good things. And so I want to be a part of telling people about them. And I really feel like I want to be a part of telling people that they know that want to do something that can be income producing. Mm-hmm. And then what Be Still does is the days that are not booked can be donated to Be Still. And they can get, you know, tax exempt.
That's what you're doing with this. You said you mentioned your daughter, your mom staying in this one that you bought.
That's what I need advice on, and that's what you guys are here for, because I'm stuck with that. I know I'm getting a beautiful one delivered to my home, and, You know, there's so many times that, and I said I wouldn't cry on this, but there's so many times that somebody said something that's for everybody else. And so we'd see the keys handed over, even to a house that was donated to us, because we lived on the grounds of this ministry. So it was like a surgeon living in the hospital. My sister and I gave up our beds for people that were coming off drugs. Back in that day, they called it kicking cold turkey. That's what they would call it. So imagine I'm going to school. I'm just a PE kid going to school with Dutch kids, right? I grab my violin. I'm stepping over girls that are, you know, crowding the house. And I go to school saying, all I know is when I get home, we're going to have cold turkey sandwiches. And they're going to be so good. They're making a bunch of them. And it wasn't cold turkey sandwiches. So that was my comprehension of it. But, you know, people would say, you don't need to live here. You need to live somewhere where your family breathes and takes a break. And so I struggle with remembering that we never got that. And then how I'm trying to make a space for people. Because I have had that now. I established that with my family. I had a circle around us. And I was like, they ended up in ministry when I was saying, you don't have to do that. But I did explain to them that, you know, there's a way to be in ministry where you can stream income, right? And so that's what I strive to learn. Now I'm a student of your generation. All I know is I've paired with a quality product that if God allows me for me to do more of this, and whatever environment I'm in, and somebody says, I already just Thanksgiving handed your flyers out to people that came for dinner.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, no, you don't understand. I hear what they want to do with their property. This is who you call. So I don't know, but the two things I'm passionate about right now are, you know, clergy burnout. I care about their families, you know, missionaries that need a reprieve, because I know what happens when you don't. And then also the places that receive them.
And that's awesome.
I don't know, but it seems like that spirit will be in the product I'm getting from you. And I just hope to be able to get more.
I remember when you came in, because Austin, he came to me and he said, hey, we've got Jean Lopez that's needing, we get a call from a finance company saying, hey, this person's been approved, but you're not a vendor anymore. And I'm like, because normally I'm like, well, she's got to go through our finance company, or it's just like, I've got to do the whole setup.
Backwards.
It takes 3 or 4 days just to set up a company. And Austin's like, no, we got to do this. We've got to set up this finance company because, you know, she's already been approved and you need to do it. I've heard her story, and you need to get the finance company approved so we can get financing for her. And it took us about 3 days to put the paperwork and everything through, and then we get approved, and then I guess then you get approved, then we switch everything over. You were at another company, or you got financing at another company.
I said change the name.
Yeah. And then you decided, what made you go from, hey, I want one, I don't want one from them anymore, I want to go to Saddlebrook?
That's before I'd been here, right? That I could even say that. So that's a compliment to just, again, how you treat people, how you answer your phones, how you connect and care, and your mission. Because I did stalk your website. I really did. And I learned so much about you all. You could see your product, right? And, you know, I would say, yeah, are other people out there trying to do this? Doing this, they are. But again, my history with knowing the quality of your legacy and what you come from, I mean, they built, Mennonites donated their time. To this day, they donate their time. When I visited probably a year and a half ago, I see a lovely Mennonite youth group come in so humbly with all these trays with the aluminum foil on a Sunday, because on Sunday, the girls like to take a break from having to cook. And there's a Mennonite youth group delivering dinner.
That's amazing.
And so I just connected with the legacy, the quality, and I just stopped looking. There was no reason anymore, because you're so reasonably priced. Actually, to be truthful, and I'm sorry people out there if they end up raising their prices, but they should. I mean, when you heard it
from Jeannie, we're raising prices.
Oh, when you look out there and you really compare what they could charge, they don't compare to, I mean, I saw you spray foaming exterior. Can you talk about that?
Austin, talk about the process. What happened when she came in? We not only took her to our main room and said, "Hey, Jeannie, we can't go in the back." Yeah, we took Jeannie and Joe. We took them out back, and we let them show them the construction. You're from the ground level to everything. Give them the process. What happens when
first
you come
off? She calls me and she says, "Hey," and she calls me at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and she's like, "Hey, we'd really like to come up this evening." It's about a 3.5 hour drive, and I'm sitting in the back of my head. I'm like, it was a long day, and you know, it went back to, we got to make sure we take care of each customer. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, absolutely, you know, make the drive up. I think y'all got here at like 7, it was a 7:30 that evening.
You
and
did.
We go out back, and you know, I started showing y'all the process of how it's built from the ground up, from your floor joists, your skids. Our crews were still back there working actually that night at 7:30, 8 o'clock, and we go back there, and y'all were able to go through and see how everything is spray foam insulated so tightly, not from just the exterior walls and ceilings, but the subfloor as well. And then we looked at the electrical and the plumbing, and Joe was just he was just astounded at.
I mean, he's still talking. He took pictures. It's like, what? And what? Because we have shown up at so many different places because I like to, I mean, something like that, when you get into a purchase that size, I like to see, I know people will buy a car online and everything now, but this is going to be a place of rest for people. And I had to see it, feel it. And you gave me such an amazing, from the inside out look, it just added to our comfort level. We're so excited about it. I mean, yeah, I can't even describe it, but I hope to be able to order more. This mm-hmm. just wasn't even enough. I don't know, again, if this one's for us or others, I promise to update you. But I know I'm a part of Beestill's mission, and I hope somewhere it ties with Saddlebrook because I have run out of words to describe you guys because if you meet one brother, you've met the other brother.
Yeah.
I feel like I've met your parents. I feel like I've been in your mom's bakery, which, by the way, I don't have any baked goods yet in my hands. I want to take back, but... It feels like home to me because, you know, up there in the area where I was raised, Mennonites are the ones that received us. Mennonites are the ones that made it home. And you just have a way of doing that. I could tell how you were raised by the way your office feels.
I could definitely give credit to my parents for raising us the way that they did. And to, you know, I heard you say, you know, we made you feel like family, and we have a lot of investors that come in by 30, 40 at a time, and, you know, they're making million-dollar purchases, but our number one goal when we show up to work every day is to make everyone feel like family, no matter if you're buying or not. We have a process to where everyone goes home with something, and no matter if you buy something, you're leaving with something, and that could be a baked goods or something, but it's just the hospitality that we truly care about people. And you mentioned like, hey, we could go up on our prices and we could do that, but we truly care about helping people and helping with their purpose. And I remember that night that you were here, because I was still here, surprisingly. And you said, he was talking about the podcast and all this, and I heard you say, "Hey, I want to do a podcast."
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your podcast that you want to start up. I know this is on our podcast, but talk about...
Thank you.
Talk about the podcast and the purpose behind how this all comes together. You going on Facebook Marketplace, you finding Austin's ad, you calling Austin. We make the finance work. God gives us all these hurdles, and you could be everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Right.
And that's what happens to a lot of people. But talk about that process, and then it's crazy. The journey's been crazy. Purpose behind, why are we doing another podcast?
Yeah, I would say that, interestingly enough, my journey here, and you know, I had 3.5 hours of drive home, and I just, that's what I was asking God, is like, why isn't every step small? Why has every step been so big? But this is bigger than I expected. And then connecting with Beestill, bigger than, I didn't expect the founder of Beestill to call me back and ask me, what's your story? Why do you relate to this? And when I told him, I was like, I don't know how, I don't know what, but, and I also sent him the link to you all, and he's trying to make sense of me. And he's like, we love you. We don't know how this will come together. And I said, well, you know, I would like to have a podcast where I did the miles from that rough journey from Pennsylvania. And let me tell you, if you've ever seen a Chrysler LeBaron convertible, That's what we drove down in.
Oh, wow.
And where the top goes down, they made me a bed. It was up. And it's that plasticky stuff. And it was cold. And they threw a pillow and blankets and laid me in that so that we had enough room for us. And it was a really sad, abrupt journey. A lot of questions going on. And it was a clash. Again, lack of rest on everybody's side. All these people in full-time ministry that were just at their peak, you know. And I'm hearing all this. This is impressionable to a 12-year-old turning 13. The whole way there, hearing that. And so imagine that drive. And when I thought about a podcast, I said, how does it tie together with all this? Well, when I'm at bestill.org, you got to meet him. I said, what if I revisit those 1,327 miles? And what if I give them back to God? Because here's what I know. I've done things in ministry that I don't call ministry, but yes, I have a lot. But you know what I had? And I think everybody has this. We have this kind of a fence at a place where we just go, everything up to here, God, I'll give to you. Or everything up to here is the story I'll tell, right? And so my story always begins at 12, 13, right there. I just had this fence where I thought my upbringing didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because it was very confusing. And I just would put that fence there. And I said, if that fell back, what's the story with like 1 to 13? Because I learned how to walk on those grounds. I wasn't raised with these suburban fences. And and I miss it. And I've been in suburban fences ever since. And I go up to Pennsylvania, feel like I can breathe. But that's where he took me, was let's redo them. Let's see who we meet. And you know what I want? I want fireside chats with people wherever he leads me, whether it's hosts. Why did you give up the space you did to Be Still? The people that have experienced them, where were you at? And you know what? What about regular people? Not regular, but there's people not in full-time ministry that at some point of their life, they let that wall come down. And what did that look like for them? Also, I want to ask everybody the question, what does taking a pause look like for you, big or small? How do you, because I need to learn that. I do not have that. I would say that I try to not do so many things my parents did with their encouragement, but I did not really learn that. Maybe one or two times. And the one time we took a vacation, like Orange Beach, there wasn't a bed for my son. And so he slept on a pool floaty. And my girls made fun of him, and they just said, if a hurricane hits, at least you're good. He just, well, you know, but that was his bed. And I was like, hey, I'm trying. It's better than Red Roof Inn that we did with growing up. That's as best as we got. So anyway, what I'm trying to do is believe that there are people out there. I guess I want to say that the body of Christ will hug us. That's all. My sister will join me. My husband will. And I want to feel some hugs because all I've known is sacrifice for the kingdom, we call it, you know? Mm-hmm. Receiving has been a challenge, but I don't want to just take. I want to give. I want to learn people's stories. I want to learn their why. And I want to provide like that safe space for them to share it. I realize now, I thought, because I've led some groups with my church. There's a recovery ministry called Regeneration. And I've been a group leader for that for many years. And so facilitating groups is something I've been doing for a long time. And I know there's going to be times we turn off the mic and we just talk because maybe that's not something they want to share publicly. So I don't know what he's going to do through this journey. I mapped it just this weekend.
Wow.
Because Be Still was asking me, because they have hosts, they have people that have stayed, they have churches that might want to have me come speak. I do have that unique angle. I was MCGG in the early 90s. I was the first female Christian rap artist. There's a period of time my kids thought that was cool.
Yeah. So what's the purpose, the end purpose with your podcast? What whose life do you want to change? Go deeper on that subject. I just want to, so the audience can understand that there might be, you know, your story is a season that everybody goes through, and it's a chapter in a book. And I go back to you said that
it's hard for you to pause. And there, it, one word came to my mind. It's pray. It's pause, reflect, ask, and then yield to what God has for you. Go deeper into what do you want this podcast, when people listen to the podcast, what do you want them to feel and understand? Because I feel like there's so many podcasts out there, but what makes yours different than the rest?
Well, I'll tell you this. What I do is, like, we always have our eyes open for problems, right? You want to be a painkiller. Mm-hmm. And the problem I have of late is I see podcasts and I see Instagram, and there's so much anti-church, anti-Christ. They do it in such an entertaining, funny way, and they mock it. And I just can't stand back. And I know that I've been impacted by people that said they were ministers and have hurt us big time. I have. I've church hurt. You know, I've been ministry hurt. Actually, there's no reason I should still be in church today if I base it on people. But I've learned people can be flakes, but my God is not. And I don't like him being mocked. And so I will tell you, mainly the purpose is to share that he's good and he's well.
Amen.
And we're all on a journey. And I feel what'll be unique about it is, you know, we got into a time, I just heard of a study that says now the problem with people coming back to church is not dislike of church. It's not dislike of this or that. Do you know what they said the number one reason is now? I even thought age and generation. It's indifference. They just don't care. They just, why? What did it have to do with me? And the sad thing about that is just the boundaries you learn through the body of Christ, the relationships through the body of Christ. My kids have people that bought them shoes when I didn't have it. You know, coats when I didn't have it. Nanas that threw them birthday parties when I couldn't. You know, there's something about coming into that fold. And, you know, that indifference, I think, you know what melts it? Is just remembering that we're human and we all have a story.
Yes.
Right? And I love that. Today, even at a hotel, I just found out that lady woke up at 2:30 in the morning to start work. I found out the lady working dinner last night about her kids. And, you know, I told my sister, she's like, how much did you tip? And I said, extra, because I met her for 5 minutes, but look at all that it took for her to set up to receive us, you know? And I want to honor that. And everybody has that story. And I think that's what I mean is when I'm in my room and I'm staring at stark white walls, and I'm not talking to people and learning their story. The walls come in on me. And then, you know what? I feel that a difference. I start to believe there's no reason to leave my room or make a difference. And reaching out, making a few phone calls, I can't believe that it's awoken something in me that's
absolutely.
Hopefully it's going to set something aflame. I want to hear people's stories.
Yep. So what's the name of the podcast? Or is that still a secret? And that's still
yeah, it's in development. So I would say if you will update people, and I give you that, because we want to be really concise and good with that. So yeah, it's in development, but I know it does have something. Cause if I may, I know we don't have much time left, but can I ask you, what do you do when you need to take a pause, either big or small? What gives you that center back where you don't feel like you're losing your mind?
I think it all goes back to resting, and that sometimes the Holy Spirit says you gotta take a step back, and then prepare, and then go out and play the game, right? So I think the big thing is to pause. Pause number one, reflect on your week, reflect on your month. And then it's pause, reflect, and then ask God, hey, what am I not seeing? Like, why am I continuing to feel this stress, feel this pressure? And then yield to whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you. And that's really my process, is pause, reflect, ask, and yield to what I'm feeling that the Holy Spirit is telling me. That's really my process of figuring out, okay, what do you have in this season for me, God? What do you have? Why are you taking me through these hard times? And I started asking, and I start, because for a long time, I was like, why'd you pick me, God? I started saying, why not me? Why not me?
I just learned something.
Right? So there's different processes that I've understood. I guess you could see like how every season's different. And I think that social media puts a different effect on, you know, you open your phone, you see things that you want and all this, and it gets you distracted. But it's that causes anxiety and, you know, stuff like that. So I don't try to look at all that. I look at, okay, what does God have in this season? What does God have in this chapter?
Today, right? Even like in today.
Because everyone has a book, and you can't look at other people's chapter 40 if you're in chapter 10.
Amen.
And I've realized, and I've came to the realization that I am in my own chapter. What do you have for me?
That's so
And
good.
I wake up and I ask Holy Spirit, what would you have for me today? And how can I change someone's life today? It can only be one person. And honestly, that's the motto that I live by is pause, reflect, ask, and yield to what God has for me today. Because I'm not looking to change, you know, if it's a million people, if it's a one person, but I choose that every day is day one. Every day is, what can I do today?
I love that.
Wow. Not what happened yesterday, what can I do today?
Man, that's
What's
huge.
The impact that I can make?
Because I, for a long time, lived in yesterday and a lot of yesterdays with the physical pain that reminds me, you know, I was in a car accident that was pretty severe.
Yeah.
With a brother that's not here.
Yeah. That has to be edited out.
You don't need to. Yeah. Well, are we recording now?
Yep.
But yeah, that is key. That yield part, you could say it, but isn't it hard to do?
It's very hard to do. It's very hard. Because you sometimes, I mean, as humans, we're hard-headed. And sometimes it takes you to rewrite your chapter 10 three times if you're not listening to God. So understand, take that quiet time and ask God. And honestly, see if you can hear, like, listen. And sometimes that's done by yourself. Sometimes that's done in a church. Sometimes that's done through someone else coming in. And you prayed about that thing, and then you just get that confirmation.
That's true.
So it's an awesome journey, because God is, this company is, you know, 2018 was started with just a shed. And now building hundreds of homes. We're going to do over 600 homes or so this year. And it's all done by giving God the glory and honor. It ain't for my glory and honor. It's for His kingdom. And it's honestly been I wouldn't say a tough journey, but it's been hard, like, just to continue to stay on the road. Because it's sometimes you want to get off the road and you just want to quit. Mm-hmm. But love your story. And I want to end with this. And I know there's more people out there that have the same journey. They've had that where they're at the stop in their road and they don't know what to do. And it could be people that are on the fence of buying a tiny home and changing mm-hmm. people's lives. What do you have to say to those people that were in your same shoes? Maybe some people that are like, okay, I don't know who Saddlebrook is. Are they the real deal? Are we who we say we are, you know, on a podcast? Tell that person that's listening to this what your experience has been like, and that, you know, what would you tell that person that's watching?
I will. Can I tell you, every brother here has their own different personalities. And you know what I know about Austin? He likes to let you all just talk. He likes to be the behind the scene guy. And I imagine the foulness of what you just shared with me has already impacted me. I just want to ask you real quick if there's anything you do that, how to pause, reflect, or take a break. Because you guys move at a fast pace here, making sure everybody has quality. It's like, yes. How do you pull away from it?
Yeah, for me, probably it's a little different than him. For me, when I go home, I reset my mind. I reset the day. I always ask God to, I know He's going to put me through setbacks and failures, but I ask Him that my setbacks and failures are always the greatest comebacks. You know, it goes back to the other day I was thinking of where I was talking to one of the new salesman guys down there, and, you know, I asked him at the dinner table, I said, hey, are you tithing or giving? And he said, no, I don't have the money to. And I reflected back, and it's something that stuck with me 12 years ago when I first made that commitment to give. Not just 1 week, once a month. It was every Sunday or Saturday, whatever day it was, I made sure I was giving. And that's something I've always went back to, is when I go back and pause and reflect if something didn't go right or it didn't go as planned, I go back and ask God, you know, why did you do this? But then I reflect and see that if we always are laser focused on Him and we put our trust in Him, He is always going to provide. For 12 years, I've given money back to different organizations, different funds. The other day, I actually went and took a bunch of baskets of goodies to 150 kids. And it's something that I didn't have to do, but it just touches me. And it's something I always remember, is to see those smiles on those kids' faces of just receiving a little cinnamon roll. We wouldn't have to do that, but that's really what we're about, is giving back. And that's probably one thing that I always sit back and pause and reflect on at the end of the day, is how much did I actually give back today to God, to the people, to whoever I met that day?
Yeah.
Because it's very clear in the Bible, if you give and you trust in God, He's always going to provide 10 times more than you can ever imagine.
And doesn't that, it helps with greed, and it's like an anti-greed, you know, solvent to pour out.
Yes.
So I would say the second point you brought out, you said pray, reflect, and ask, right?
Pause, reflect.
And this
is the word, it's the word pray. So if you're watching, write down P-R-A-Y, and then put down pause, reflect, ask, and yield.
Okay. I will tell you, that's the problem I've had, is that ask part. And so, you know, that's where, that's what's going to be unique for me on this journey and the podcast. It's all being done by faith, spot to spot. We're just praying for, you know, because it's, I mean, out of our own, you know, provision to do this. But again, I had two parents that put that shovel on the ground, and there's a ministry standing today. I will tell you this. You asked me some things about how would people just take their first step. I would just say, do exactly what Kyler said as far as pray.
Pause.
I thought I came up with the word pause. That's why I keep trying to replace it, because pause has been on my heart, and I just can't believe that's in there. So pause, right? Stop and do that, because everybody, they're quick talkers sometimes through marketplace, online, or you're talking to them. I mean, I was on the verge twice of signing other contracts. And I mean, it was, I'm emailing you this, and by 5 today, can you send it back to me? I think that is what had me pause, because I have other people to discuss this with. Like, give me a minute. And so if they don't give you that, move on, because it's not in their time, it's in yours. And I wouldn't say wait too long on it either, because reality is materials go up, labor goes up, and now after this podcast, their prices might go up. Don't pause too long, because they are, I mean, this is, imagine since 2018, you said? You want, so get in when you can. And then, you know, I would say, though, move with that hesitation you have. I was waiting for it to be resolved before I could take a step. And I have talked to many entrepreneurs, and I would say the one thing they said that they did, they moved with that fear. They moved with that hesitation. They didn't. Their expectation wasn't, it will be gone, and then I take a
Absolutely.
Step. Because there's so much growth in that movement, right? So it's like resistance training that I don't do. But isn't that what you're doing, right? And so if that's your hesitation, really just talk to somebody here, because I mulled over it by myself. And I think what you would get is not a sales pitch. You're going to, because, you know, like they said, they sell in volume, but they're going to treat the onesies and twosies just like the bigsies. Mm-hmm. So I feel like your advice isn't, it wasn't manipulative, and it's not coercion of any kind. It was the only one without a sales pitch. Every time I was like, okay, bye, we'll talk again soon. I was like, you don't want me to, you're not sending me paperwork or... So it was so natural. And look for that. And don't wait for your hesitation or fear to be gone. Be wise with it. Do discuss it with others, because it is a big purchase. But they can be involved in some of that decision making. If you don't see the floor plan online, trust me, they're going to find a way. If you don't see a color you want, trust me, they're going to find a way. Don't think that everything that's on their site is all they do, because it truly is a room full of very brilliant people here behind the scenes, and I'm thankful for that. I did want to let you know that when I mapped
my journey. Do you know that it brings me through this area?
Wow.
It does. My first stop is Lyndale, Texas, because that's where we landed when we arrived from Pennsylvania. That's who received us. And so I'm going to be talking to people there. And I could not believe that it journeyed right through here. And I said, well, then I guess you're going to be the second guest on my podcast.
That's awesome.
So whether it's you all, honestly, I want to meet the parents. Yeah. I'm just telling you, I got to know the geniuses.
You'll get to meet.
So we'll do something with you all. And that's where you'll see us again.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yep.
Comes right through here. You have to.
Yep. Thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Thank you again, Jeannie, for coming down. Can't wait to get your tiny home out, and we'll make sure we'll update them. Maybe do a whole story and stuff after it's out there to keep you guys updated. If this podcast helped you in any way, if this can help someone that's in need, just has the same story as Jeannie of finding their purpose or finding a bit something that's bigger than themselves. If this podcast helped, make sure you like it, subscribe to our channel. We can't wait for the next podcast. See you on the next.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.